Ringo Starr, celebrating America's birthday as we're coming up to Ringo's birthday. That was Ringo and the Beach Boys live on the Capitol Mall from 1984. It has been quite a birthday party.
We've learned a lot.
Yes, Greg Bissonette from the All-Stars giving us an update on the road. Nils Lofgren, wow, what a history, and just telling us about his history, and of course his time with Ringo and the All-Stars. Burton Cummings sharing a lot of great stories, and Billy Amendola sort of giving us the expert's opinion, Billy, of Modern Drummer. So, happy birthday, America. Happy birthday, Ringo. For Tom Frangione and Bill Flanagan, it's Dennis Elsis. Until the next time, we say Beatles forever.
Hey, peace and love, peace and love. You know, since 2008, on July the 7th, my birthday, the idea is that anyone, anywhere at noon, you're on the bus, doesn't matter if you're in the office, your local time at noon, you could go peace and love, and that would be your gift to me. Okay, so it's been great. You know, we've been doing it now, as I said, for quite a few years, and now we're in 30 countries. How great is that?
Yeah, hi, I'm on moderndrummer.com. Peace and love. Just say peace and love.
Go.
Thank you. All right, big guy. you know, the thing last year was very difficult. I mean, for everybody, I believe. You know, trying to get used to restrictions where we can go. You know, there were two tours booked for me. I couldn't go, of course. And then I was just sitting there, you know, moping about a bit, and I thought, well, I'm going to make an EP.
It's 3 hours.
I didn't want to look at the progress of an album, of a CD. So I thought, just, you know, four tracks, and just to hit the drums and hang out with a few musicians. And we did. We were all very, cautious. You know, we all got tested before we, you know, Ben Montench came over playing piano, and Nathan East came, and so everybody who came over, you know, we were all pretty 6 foot apart-ish, but at least we could feel each other. And and there was only like two people besides me at a time. We didn't have like a whole gang. Like the chorus for Hearse of the Nights, like the two people that came over were Ben Harper and Dave Grohl. That was it. With this record, I made a decision that, you know, though I'm the producer and I do play the drums and I do sing the songs, I didn't have to put on all of the other instruments that went on there. People were doing it at home. And I didn't have to be the writer or the co-writer of the song. So, you know, I started calling people, have they got any songs? And, you know, Sam Hollander I worked with on my What's My Name album, you know, he was great. And he did it all in New York and then sent it down, and I just did the vocals. He had a drummer on, he had a whole band on. But the fun part of having, you know, doing it yourself was that on Sam's track, I felt it needed a fill, one fill in this place I heard. And so now I'm credited as the vocalist and one drum fill. That's how it is. So you can do stuff like that. Diane Warren sent the first song, and that came out December. And you know, all those people came out for me, you know, to sing on the chorus, which was great. Which was Dave and Ben and Joe and Sheryl Crow, you know, and Lenny Kravitz came out. Chris Taylor. I mean, it was just so great. People, you know, you just. I think everyone was looking for something to do. You know, so Diane got half the guys and girls, and I got the other half. But it just keeps you in a music mode, which I love. You know, I prefer to be playing on stage, but this is the best I can do right now is to play, make a record here in this room I'm in, and, you know, hang out with musicians.
That's great. The next question comes to us from Matt Friedlander of ABC. How did you end up collaborating with The Doors' Robbie Krieger? Did he come to your home studio to record his part? Are you a Doors fan? And how cool was it to get his classic guitar sound on one of your recordings?
It was very cool, and he's a beautiful human being. And he played in his own studio. You know, we're just sending the file. I'm on like five records, other people's records this year. They just send the files, and I drummed it in my drum room in the, and but Robbie, it was back again to me thinking, I want to change this up and, you know, have different writers, have different musicians. And Robbie came to mind, and we called him and said, you know, we've got this track, would you want to play on it? And he said, we sent it to you, and he thought, yeah, man, that's great. So that, you know, it was such a, it was an interesting process, this EP, that, you know, we had Robbie and we had other people writing and producing in a way, the Sam Hollander, and we produced everything in the room here, and the engineer and I wrote a reggae song, which we did here, and then brought in Tony Chen, world class reggae guitarist from Bob Marley onwards he's played, and so it gave it some character. And so I was sort of in that mood of looking for people I hadn't worked with as well to come on over or to send it. I sent the files. So for me, it's like a really good phase of my recording life, you know, to get to play or to listen to what they played at their own studios. And it worked. Yeah. And whoever's that asked that question, Robbie's great. Talking about the records to the tracks, I mean, they're all Peace and Love. I mean, you know, the strange thing is I got for it. Well, Mama Teach Me to Tango is not really Peace and Love. that's just rocked on. You know, I'd sort of done the four track. EPs in my day were four tracks. I loved EPs. And I got plenty of them in storage. But anyway, we're just finishing off and doing that, and then I get a call from Steve Lukather and Joe Williams from Toto. They've got this song. I said, bring it over. And they came over with the mask on and, you know, Not Enough Love in the World. I had to do it. Not Enough Peace in the World. I mean, they had me at the first line. And so what was great, Joe had put some synth song, you know, giving it some body, and Luke, of course, one of the finest guitarists in the world, I put some guitar on, and then so I just put my voice on and the drums, and then they came back to listen, and then Luke put a bit more guitar on, you know. You ever want a bit more guitar, call Luke. Yeah, so that, you know, it unfolded as we went along. You know, I just got in here one day thinking I'm going to make an EP, called Bruce, come over, turn on the system. I don't know how you do that. And I started thinking about people and calling people and changing my mind. I don't have to be like that guy who's usually at the least is, you know, one of the writers on the track. And it just sort of unfolded as we went along. And, you know, we're in no rush. There was not like, you know, a date, we had to get it finished. We just went along, we played, we went and did other things. Well, we didn't do anything else. you know, I left the house 8 times in a year. I mean, it's far out. But anyway, it was a great experience, and it was in a relaxed way, but a confined space, you know, because of the COVID. But now I've had both my shots, I can hang out with all you guys on the screen here. Yeah. But I'm making EPs because it's not such a big situation, you know, to do the 10 tracks. You're like, it's, you know, it's joyful, but it's work. With the EP, it's like, you know, the you can look at it. Four tracks, now five, of course, but it's easier to look at. And I did feel after What's My Name, the CD I had in 19, that that's probably the last CD. I didn't know this was going to happen, the pandemic. And then so I thought, well, you know, I said I was only going to make tracks. I mean, you don't even have to make an EP, an LP, a CD. You know, this mine's coming out on cassette because, hey, I want it out on cassette, you know? And so, you know, most the problem of you do it, and it, you know, it took a few months, was that when I finished it, I had Bruce Reznikoff from Universal come over to listen. It's one thing we do. And he said, he listened, he said, yeah. I said, and he said, when do you want it out? And I said, oh, November. And he goes, March? Because it takes a little longer now, you know, there isn't that office buzz. They're all at home doing their stuff, so you got to keep moving it. Anyway, that's it came out in March. It's out today. How great is that? And, you know, so that's it. I just think EPs are good. And, you know, don't tell anyone, but I have started EP2. You know, what big plans we had for 2020. You know, I was 80. We would have a big celebration. All the kids and the grandkids, everybody was coming into LA, and we're gonna like have a great time. And you know, it didn't happen. So I have, this is the longest I haven't seen the kids or the grandkids. Though, you know, my granddaughter sent me a little video today of my great grandson singing away to my song because the BBC are playing it, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And but yeah, it's hard, you know? And I smile because they only want to go back to school. They're all back in school in England now. And I was thinking about myself, about school, and I never wanted to go to school. That's one of boogie on down even then, but they miss their pals. It's understandable. And that's what I think the EP helps. I see pals once in a while, you know, they come over or we're on the, FaceTime with each other, and so it keeps your spirits alive to be able to hang out with other, in my case, musicians and other people. But you know, I have my American stepchildren here, Barbara's children, and we have Marjorie, a sister, and Joe Walsh, you know, and so they're the only houses I've been to. They come to this house or we go to their house. You know, we're all very protected of the virus. We don't want it, so we try our best. But yeah, it's been hard. The quick answer, which I don't have many quick answers, is yes. I had to cancel last year, as you all know, and I've canceled this year because I don't want to go out on the road and have, you know, social distancing and masks on or whatever, even though by, you know, it's going to be May, June was the first tour. And then we thought maybe September, October, we could manage. And then just 2 days ago, I canceled that one too. I'm going to wait till next year to go out. So there may be four or five EPs out before then. Who knows?
Jeff Slate writes, you've been making solo records for over 50 years now. Reflect on the process. Has it changed over the years? Of course,
are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You needed a sort of a hammer and chisel when I started making records. It's like far out. I did a George Martin, God rest his soul. We did a documentary in the 90s. We both went to look at the equipment in Abbey Road, and we both said we could only dream of equipment like this. You know, it was far out. I mean, we had, compared to now, primitive. But, you know, compared to then, it was very good. And we were probably the last band to go on to 8-track. You know, the Americans were using 8-track. Wow! You know, and now they've got 70 tracks. I don't like that, though. I like to play. You know, a lot of bands are just like, if the drummer, they just go, and that's it. They put that right through the record. So that I always play through the record when I play. But yeah, it's incredible what you can do now. And you know, we're lucky, you know, that the Beatle records are still popular in their way. And you know, like every generation likes to hear them. And but a lot of those bands were, you know, they only go out for streaming. I'm streaming as well, but you know, that's so new. There's nothing to hold. I mean, I'm from those days when you held an LP and it was like, yeah, and you opened it and there was interest in this. Now it's, you know, even the CD. It took me a while. CD, talking about CDs, it took me a while to listen to CDs a long time ago now, but because they're all a little harsh compared to the vinyl. And I'm used to the hiss, you know, of the vinyl. Yeah, I see you, brother. Yeah, I got you. And so it's changed a lot. I mean, that's all I can say, really. I mean, just my system here, it's mainly Pro Tools with few added situations. I mean, I can't even turn the bloody thing on. You know, I have to have the engineer come over. So it's changed.
Would you talk about the Peter Jackson film and if you're looking forward to it?
Yeah, oh, so much. I mean, Get Back, I mean, you know, just to put you in the picture, on the first time it came out, the documentary, Michael Lindsay Hogs, On the Roof was about eight minutes long. On the Roof with Peter is 43 minutes long.
Wow.
That's all.
Wow.
You know, it's about the music and a lot of joy. You know, I didn't feel any joy in the original documentary. It was all focused on, and everybody knows I say this, it was focused on one moment that went down between two of the lads. And, you know, and no, none of the joy. The idea that we found 56 hours of unused video.
Oh my God.
You know, tells you everything, really. And Peter, I had several talks with Peter about how I felt, like I just told you. I thought it was miserable. And he kept, and I said, there's lots of laughter. I was there. We were laughing. We were having fun. We were playing, you know, we were doing what we do. And so he would keep coming into LA because he works out in New Zealand. And he'd come over with his iPad and he'd show me sections. He said, look what I found here. We're laughing. We're having fun as a band. So, you know, even if you see that little trailer that they put out late last year on the documentary, you know, it's full of fun. I mean, there was a lot of joy in making those records, those tracks. And so I'm certainly looking forward to the whole thing. I haven't seen the finished product
to say
yet.
About Ringo and,
but that's going to happen any minute now because it comes out in August.
Are you creating more art while you're in lockdown?
Yes. You know, I purposely, because it's a press conference and there's lots of you, but if you've seen anything I've done to promote, on this wall behind me, I just wanted a plain wall for you guys. I've got artwork up to the kazoo because that's another thing I love to do. A lot of art, I've been making tracks, and I've got the gym, so they're like the three venues I go to. And, you know, just trying to keep fit to the best of my ability and paint. I love to paint. And so, yeah, plenty of art. Well, I grew quite a lot when we, in 1960, we went to Germany and with Rory and the Hurricanes. And the guy of Koschmida, the guy who owns the clubs and that, decided, you know, he wasn't going to London for the bands. He's coming to Liverpool for the bands. And so Howie Casey was the first band to go from Liverpool. Then the Beatles went from Liverpool. I think also with the studio after 65, when we decided just to stay in the studio, also taught us lessons about sound and space. You know, I mean, my personal view as a drummer is I don't need to be drum boogieing while you're singing the song. So I always play to the song. And if the singer is singing, I don't play much. But if he stops, I'm in. Yeah. So I think that, and you know, with the All Stars, you learn because, you know, it's called the All Stars Band. Everyone is a star in their own right. They all have their songs. And, you know, I have to learn all their songs. They have to learn my songs. They have to learn the other, you know, guitarist song, the piano player song. So it keeps you on your toes, you know. It's not just the same old track every day. Well, you know, it's a great pleasure for me to do the Grammys on Sunday and presented the best record to Billie Eilish, who I think is just incredible. And Phineas, who writes them with her, he's actually on the chorus with everybody else, with Lenny and everybody. He came through, and it was great to meet her, you know. And but musically great, you know, beautiful human being and musically great. But you know, I listen to what's happening, but I play what I play. You're not going to see me any minute now, I don't think, rapping.
How do you decide which songs to play on? And other people also asked if you'd be collaborating with people who are on Here's to the Nights, like Dave Grohl or Ben Harper.
Well, we just asked. And, you know, I know Luke, he's been in the All-Star Band for 9 years, and Joe. And as I said at the beginning, they'd written this song, put some program on it, and made it easy for me to sing. But Luke, I mean, you know, and Toto, it's a great band, and we are friends, so you know, I'm going to do it for friends. I mean, I'm not going to do everything everybody asks me. I mean, I don't play jazz, so if it, oh yeah, you all know the record now, brother. Yeah, I see you. You know, I played for them, they played for me. It's like, you know, one of those. And, you know, on Sheila Ree, it's a great story. Sheila Ree did Come Together. And she called me, would I play on it? And she came over with the files. And anyway, I said, look, I'm not going to do that bump, bump, dee-ka-dee-dum, bum-a-dee-bum-a, you know, that pattern I do. I'm going to go like bump, bump. And because, you know, that pattern I did, I'm only ever going to play that on the Beatles track. And so I went, bum, bum, and she goes on the congas, doodly, 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 doodly. She put it in. So there's a lot of fun in, you know, playing. But she forgot to tell me it was 7.5 minutes long and 4 of them was a jam at the end. But I'm on the kit, so I'm jamming with you, baby. Yeah, I love Sheila. But, you know, it's like that. And Rodney Crowell, I just played on a track for him. I just put a track together for his charity, for the musicians in Nashville. And, you know, Edgar Winter's getting an album out. And in memory, really, of his brother who died. And Johnny, who was great. And so I'm on a track. You know what I mean? It's like whatever comes in, it's a yes or no. But... yeah, I just loved it. Mama Teach Me the Tango, and I thought the track was great. And Sam, as I said at the beginning of this, you know, said, I asked him for a song on the What's My Name CD. And he was in LA then, so he came over. But, you know, since then, he's been doing it in New York, and I'm doing it here. But thank you, Lord, for the files we can send each other. So, yeah, but when I was a lad, a lot of mamas taught me to tango.
We have two questions asking you about another country album. Are you considering
another country?
Yep.
No, that's interesting because we were doing a track yesterday, and I felt that the end results of it could be a country song. But if I do a country EP, that's possible. But yeah, I love country music and I love the blues. You know, I love pop, I love rock. I like a lot of music, and I like big bands because of my stepfather. He was a big band freak, and that's what he'd play all the time. And he said one of the finest things to me once, because he never put what I was listening to down. But he said, I was playing him some record, and he said, well, have you heard this? I said, no, what is it? And it was Harry. And it was Sarah Vaughan. My stepdad introduced me to Sarah Vaughan. How beautiful is she? And Glenn Miller, of course, and a lot of other bands. And I feel that's because of him. You know, even when it's straight rock, I sort of have a swing to it. It's just something naturally to me. You know, it's not like straight rock. It's like straight rock with a bit of a swing. And, you know, I feel it's because I listen to all those big band records he liked to play. Peace and love moments are growing. Okay, so, you know, it's like the pebble in the ocean. The ripples are going out and out and out. And, you know, it's a huge ocean. But the ripples have started. And that's all you can do is your best. And, you know, and I do it a lot. So why don't I count to three? Yeah, brother, I see you, Pablo. Why don't I count to three and we have a goodbye, peace and love. Wow.
Great. Let me unmute
everybody. Peace and love. Peace and love. I didn't see any of you guys joining in. Well, yeah, I see you now. Is that it, Elizabeth?
That's it. Thank you.
Okay, listen, everybody. Wow. Thanks for being on the Zoom with me. And you're pointing somewhere, Pablo. Some picture on the back of his screen there. I don't know. And you're pointing to the guitar. See, it's great. We're all together, you know. If we want to be together, we can. There's a picture of me and, John Paul George. Mm. Yeah. I should just keep taking photos of you, screenshots, but I don't know how you do that. All right, so I'm off and running. Have a great day, great evening, depending where you're calling from. And I send you peace and love. Thank you. Peace and love.
Peace and love. Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Don't run from the good time in summer, or you'll fall into winter.